repurposing/reprocessing single-use devices. For several decades, hospitals and private healthcare establishments have reprocessed various single-use devices, SUDs. The practice of using SUDs was promoted as labor-saving and cost-efficient. Reprocessing a single-use device includes decontamination, functional testing, repackaging, relabeling, and sterilization of the device. Increasing healthcare costs, environmental concerns, and recognition of finite resources have prompted healthcare facilities to consider reprocessing devices labeled as single-use devices. Manufacturers choose whether or not to label a device as single-use, and they are not required to provide evidence to support their designation. Many manufacturers attach the single-use label to devices they previously marketed as reusable or currently market as reusable outside the United States. A reused single-use device will have to comply with the same regulatory requirements of the device as when it was originally manufactured. Personnel should maintain the sterile packaging and slash or container integrity to ensure an intact seal and confirm that sterilization indicators with expiration date, if provided, are verified. Before use, sterile packages should always be inspected for signs of contamination such as moisture, tears, or discoloration in addition to the expiration date. Items including solutions should be aseptically transferred to sterile fields. When used for sterile procedures, disinfectant pads or swabs, that is alcohol, chlorhexidine, betadine, including those in sterile kits or trays, should be checked to verify that the label on their package indicates that they are sterile. Otherwise, they are considered a non-sterile item. Custom kits made by the manufacturer must also be checked to verify that each individual component is sealed and is within its expiration date to ensure its sterility. Preventing infection in implanted devices. The risk of infection and the benefit of having a reusable medical device must be assessed together. Implanted medical devices include implantable joints, prosthetic cardiac valves, defibrillators, and pacemakers, left ventricular assist devices, tissue allograft implants, spinal implants. These are foreign objects, and although they are intended to improve the patient's well-being, the body's natural defense mechanisms jump into action. The selection of the correct device, with forethought regarding placement. Insertion under the sterile conditions, with the most pristine surgical technique for hematoma prevention. Suture closure and attentive postoperative care are necessary to have the optimum desired outcome. Implants and biofilms. Microorganisms attach to surfaces of inanimate material and produce extracellular polysaccharides, resulting in the formation of biofilms. Biofilms themselves facilitate further attachment, and organisms within a biofilm behave differently, in a way that allows for increased survival of the organism in the biofilm. The types of organisms that develop biofilms are broad, including many pathogenic bacteria and fungi. Organisms associated with biofilm production enjoy a significant decrease in antimicrobial susceptibility. Patients receiving implanted medical devices, including joint replacements, stents, and pacemakers, are at increased risk of developing an infection at the surgical site. The increased risk of infection is linked to a localized immunological deficit at the interface between the implant and the host. This immune deficiency leads to a reduced ability to clear microorganisms from the vicinity of the biomaterial, and any contaminating bacteria are therefore more likely to cause an implanted medical device infection. Regulations for reprocessed single-use devices. Concerns over the safety of reprocessing single-use devices have led the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, FDA, and its international counterparts to develop and publish regulations for this practice. Under these regulations, reprocessors, hospital-based or third-party, must meet the same standards as the original manufacturer. When considering reprocessing SUDs, healthcare facilities are faced with the decision whether to contract with a third-party or formulate an in-house plan. No matter which approach is taken, the process must comply with the FDA regulations, which include the following: registration and listing. Register and report reprocessed single-use devices. Medical device reporting. Report adverse events. Medical device tracking. Establish tracking system to locate devices promptly. Medical device corrections and removal. Report any corrected or removed device. Quality system regulation. Manufacturing requirements govern the methods and controls used for design, manufacture, packaging, labeling, storage, installation, and servicing of devices. This includes all Class 2 and Class 2i devices and some Class I devices. Address corrective and preventive action requirements. Satisfy process validation requirements. Process validation establishes, by objective evidence, that a process consistently produces a result or a product meets its predetermined specifications. Labeling. Label name and place of manufacturer and adequate directions for use. Pre-market notification and approval requirement. Pre-market notification, 510K, is required for Class I and Class 2 devices unless the device is specifically exempted. Pre-market approval, PMA, application is required for all Class 2i devices depending upon the type of device. A pre-market notification, 510K, may also be required. It is imperative that all IPs have up-to-date knowledge of regulatory requirements, guidelines, and best practices related to reprocessing and reuse of single-use devices. This knowledge should inform their responsibilities as it relates to purchasing, product assessment, and contractor selection. Healthcare facilities considering contracting with a commercial third-party reprocessor have the responsibility of knowing that reprocessing and SUD presents no greater risk to their patients' health and safety. The decision to contract with a reprocessing company should be based on a thorough review and FDA approval of their 510K application. It is unlikely that some facilities will choose to maintain in-house reprocessing programs because of the cost of developing and maintaining programs that meet all of the FDA requirements. Reprocessing endoscopes. Endoscopes have been linked to contaminated healthcare-associated outbreaks more than any other medical or surgical device. In order to prevent the spread of HAIs, all endoscopes with side-viewing channels and all heat-sensitive endoscopes, example, gastrointestinal endoscopes, bronchoscopes, nasopharyngoscopes, must be properly cleaned and at a minimum subjected to high-level disinfection, HLD, following each use. Unfortunately, there is poor compliance with the recommendations for reprocessing endoscopes. The CDC Healthcare Infection Control Practices Advisory Committee, HICPAC, recommends that all facilities performing endoscopic procedures develop a reliable, high-quality infrastructure that includes, in addition to annual training and competencies, the essential steps for endoscope reprocessing: point-of-use cleaning, leak testing, manual cleaning, visual inspection, disinfection or sterilization per manufacturer's instructions for use, transportation, and storage. In general, endoscope disinfection or sterilization with a liquid chemical sterilant or high-level disinfectant involves four steps after leak testing. Clean. Manually clean internal and external surfaces, including brushing internal channels and flushing each internal channel with water and an enzymatic cleaner. Disinfect and rinse. Completely immerse endoscope in high-level disinfectant or chemical sterilant and perfuse disinfectant. This eliminates air pockets and ensures germicide contact with internal channels into all accessible channels such as the suction biopsy channel and the air/water channel, and expose for a time recommended for specific products. Rinse the endoscope and all channels with sterile water, filtered water, commonly used with automated endoscope reprocessors, or tap water. Dry. Rinse the insertion tube and inner channels with alcohol and dry with pressure-regulated forced air for at least 10 minutes after disinfection and before storage. Store. Store the endoscope and its accessories, such as valves, in cabinets with HEPA-filtered air and in a way that prevents recontamination and promotes drying. Example, hung vertically. The duration of time that a scope can remain without reprocessing. Hang time should be determined for the organization using a multidisciplinary risk assessment. The following graphic shows the process and steps for reprocessing endoscopes. Exhibit 5-6. Reprocessing endoscopes. Endoscopes with side-viewing elevator channels. Duodendoscopes are difficult to clean and have been linked to outbreaks of carbapenem-resistant enterobacteriales, CRE, infections. Specific precautions related to duodendoscopes include additional steps and brushes, flushing and manipulating the elevator during cleaning, referring to IFU, and verifying to ensure proper cleaning after each use. High-level disinfection is the recognized standard for flexible endoscopes, and it can be achieved either manually or with use of an automated endoscope reprocessor, AER. AERs can standardize several important reprocessing steps, reduce the likelihood that an essential step will be skipped, and reduce personnel exposure to high-level disinfectants. AERs provide superior cleaning and decontamination, improved rinsing of disinfectants, and reduced residual disinfectants in the endoscope compared to manual processing. Key point: if an AER cycle is interrupted, high-level disinfection or sterilization cannot be assured, and therefore the entire cycle must be repeated. Because design flaws have compromised the effectiveness of AERs, the infection prevention staff should routinely review FDA advisories, manufacturer alerts, and the scientific literature for reports of AER deficiencies that may lead to infection. Facility policies should also address the management of instruments that have been borrowed from other healthcare facilities or manufacturers for temporary use. A system for documenting endoscopes used during procedures, to include patient identifiers, aids in identification of patients who may have been affected by a product recall or a reprocessing failure. Periodic quality assurance audits of the endoscope program should be conducted to ensure that all aspects of the program are maintained per current standards. Unfortunately, studies have shown that contamination can persist in endoscopes even if strict adherence to the guidelines for cleaning and disinfection is followed.